morning. First of all, this morning, I want to say a very big, big thank you to the congregation on behalf of my wife and myself for the donation, the amount of money that you have given us the last few weeks to assist us with our work in Liberia. We want each of you to know that we really appreciate your help. And it's our prayer that our relationship with this congregation will continue from here. I also want to say thanks to the elders for giving me another opportunity to stand before this wonderful congregation to deliver another message from the Word of God. This morning, I'd like us to talk together about the family. And I want us to think about what's happening to the family, the institution called the family. Because I believe that the family as an institution has suffered and continue to suffer sustained and intense attack in this society and in many other places. The family is the oldest institution on earth. The family is older than the church. The family is older than the government. You see, the Bible says in the beginning, God created man and woman and put them together. And that was the creation of the family. A family is a group of people consisting of a father, a mother, children, living together in a household, related by blood, marriage, or residence. You see, my friends, a family could also refer to all of the descendants of a common ancestor. But in the Christian home, God is the center of the home. Let's look at Deuteronomy, and the chapter is 11. And we'll read verses 18 to 21. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I will read for you 18 to 21. And the Bible reads, "So therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking to them when you walk, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. This is instruction to the children of Israel, talking about the obligation of parents to teach their children about God. Brothers and sisters, in the family, God is supposed to be the center of the family. You see, in the family, the man or the male should be ready to assume the responsibilities of a home. And the woman should be ready to help that man. I will say that one more time. In a family, the man is supposed to be ready to assume the responsibilities of a home. And a woman or wife must be ready to help that man. But the problem we have sometimes is this. If you have a man, or if you married a man as a woman, your duty, your obligation is to help him. Because when the Bible created the man, God said, I cannot find among my creation a suitable mate. So I will make you a helper. So the woman is supposed to help the man. The problem is, how can you help someone who is doing nothing? You see, if the man does not have a project, if the man does not have something he's working on, then what is a woman going to help him with? That's what happens when you marry someone who is not working on anything. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, if anyone doesn't provide for his own, especially for his household, he is worse than an unbeliever. You see, my friends, a family has certain things in common. What is happening to our families today? Families have certain things in common. Families have love, care, respect, support, discipline, communication, guidance, forgiveness, and the list could go on. But what I want us to see this morning as a congregation, as a church, is that families are breaking down. The institution, the institution of family is being broken down gradually. And the things that are supposed to be in the family are disappearing. You see, a family is an invention of God. A family is a creation of God, not a creation of the government, not a creation of psychologists, not a creation of sociologists. Brothers and sisters, family originated from God. God knows more about the family than the government. God knows more about the family than the experts. That's why when we want to learn and know about families, we have to go to the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the scripture says, Genesis 2:15, then God took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to tend and keep it. This is very important. This is before Eve. This is before marriage. And what God is doing, God brought Eve to Adam after he had developed a relationship with Adam. So God takes Adam and places him in the garden. And then God gives Adam a job to do. How important is this? Well, when you meet a man as a woman, there are two things as a Christian you need to be concerned with. Number one, is this man in contact with God? You see, Adam was already in a relationship with God because God placed him in Eden, the garden. That was where he had a contact and a relationship with God. And then God gave him work to do. I met a young lady many, many years ago. And she told me, she said, I'm looking for a BMW. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, a black man working. She wasn't talking about the car. You see, the thing is, if we look at the example from Scripture, we see that Adam was already in a relationship with God before Eve. And God had already given him a work to do. So it is very important that when you enter marriages, there has to be adequate and necessary preparation. There are so many people entering marriages, setting up families without the necessary preparation. Is it any wonder why there are so many divorces and broken homes that result in much pain and sufferings? Especially for the children. You see, government will require people to prepare before they drive a car. Government will require people prepare before they perform a profession. But when it comes to marriage, government doesn't require any preparation. If you go to the courthouse, they might ask you whether you're related. And if you're not, you fill up the necessary forms. Bingo. You're married. But go for a driver's license. I have a driver's license. And I come here and I go to the department of whatever, driver's license, and they gave me two sheets of paper. Things I have, I already have a driver's license from Arkansas. I already know how to drive. But they gave me a list of requirements. The government wants to make sure before you can drive, you take a test, you fill up forms, you study the manual, you do the written test, you do the driving test. Those of you that have licenses to work in the medical profession, to work in the teaching profession, you know what you have to go through before you can get those licenses. But when it comes to marriage, any old Tom, Dick, or Harry can go and get a license without any or little preparation. You see, my brothers and sisters, for marriages to be successful, those who desire to start a family must be prepared. This is not something you take lightly. That's why when we give vows to people who are getting married, one of the things that I said is, this is not something you take lightly. A marriage is not for children. For those who have been prepared. Let's look at Proverbs 24. And we'll look at verses 3 to 5. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 5. And this is about, when the Bible talks about house, it's all my home, it's all my family. It says, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You see, my friends, for a house, for a home, for a family to be successful, there has to be preparation. You need knowledge. Knowledge is information. We have to give our brothers and sisters information about marriage, what it is, what it entails. For marriage to be successful, there must be understanding. Just giving information, just having information is not enough. There has to be understanding. We must understand what we are getting into when we get into marriage. And there must also be wisdom. Wisdom has to do with application. Learning something is not enough. We have to be ready. We have to be willing to apply what we learn. So for our marriages to be successful, we need knowledge, which is information. We need understanding, which is comprehension. And we need wisdom, which is application. Many people entering marriages, setting up families, don't even understand what love is. They say, oh, I feel so good about this person. I love this person. People don't understand what love is. There are four kinds of love. You have the love for family, storge. You have the love for your friends, philia. You have the sexual love, which is eros. Then you have the agape love, which is unconditional love. Those three other loves will not make marriage to be successful. Only agape love, which is unconditional love. That's the kind of love we need to have for our families, for our wives, for our husbands, for our children. Because if you place a reason for loving someone, if you have a condition for loving someone, when that condition no longer exists, then what happens? So I love you. You're so beautiful. Your hair is very long. Suppose your hair is not long again. Suppose you're involved in a wreck and your face is not as beautiful as it was before. Does that mean the marriage is over? You see what I'm talking about? That's why those three types of love will not work. That's what I'm saying. People enter marriages, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what love is. That's why the scripture says in, I think it's Proverbs 4 verse 6, it said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He said, because you have rejected knowledge. Not only that you lack knowledge, but you have rejected knowledge. Some people don't even want to hear the truth. And they get upset when you try to teach them. They get upset when you try to tell them. Is there any wonder why homes are being destroyed? And marriages are ending in divorce. The scripture says people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. People don't have the information they need before they get into marriages. Some people get into marriages because they see other people getting married. What has happened to the family? The family, as we know it, has been destroyed. The family has been stratified into different kinds and different types. You have the nuclear family. You have the single parent family. You have the extended family. You have the blended family. You have the same sex family. Go on and on and on. All these different kinds of families. And sometimes I wonder, what happened to the traditional family? What happened to the Christian family? They have made all kinds of laws. And these laws have made it easier to break up marriages and break up homes. They have the no contest divorce and no fault divorce. That means you can get divorced for any reason or no reason. Brother Fisher, you can go today and say, I don't want my wife. You don't have to have a reason. And it's legal. It's legal. No fault. No one has to be wrong. No one has to do anything. You just go and say, I'm tired. I don't want this person anymore. I want someone else. That's good enough. Brothers and sisters, we also have humanistic philosophies that are helping to change long-held views about God, about the family, about the home. You see, humanism says there is no God. And the highest good in life is to be happy. That's why so many people get a divorce, because they say, I'm not happy. Humanism says the highest good in life is for you, the individual, to be happy. If you are not happy, it's ground for divorce. Brothers and sisters, what is happening to our families? Then you have alcohol and drugs that are wreaking havoc in many families and homes. We also have the sexual revolution. It's causing a lot of problems. Then we talk about the lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding, the lack of wisdom about marriage. All of these things put together are helping to erode, undermine, and destroy the institution called marriage. The respect, prestige, and sanctity that marriage once had is no more. More and more people are deciding to just live together and not to get married. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 4, it says marriage is honorable and a marriage bed is undefiled. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we need to put honor back in marriage. Marriage is honorable. But guess what? Today, marriage is devalued. But shacking up, fornication, free sex are encouraged. You know why? Because everyone is liberated. Everyone is liberated. You see, this is what is going on. More and more resources are being put into building prisons, into law enforcement, into detention centers. Do you know prisons are now private enterprise? People invest in prisons. So it's another way to make money. But why are they making investments in detention centers, in law enforcement, in prison? Because of the breakdown in the family. Because the families have been destroyed. And when families have been destroyed, what you have drug use. It goes up. You have prostitution. You have crime. You have waywardness. You have violence. That's what the Bible says. Teach a child. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Teach a child in a way that they will go. So that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But brothers and sisters, this is the sad part. How about those children who have no one to teach them? The Bible says, teach a child. What happened to the children who have nobody to teach them? No one to guide them. No one to direct them. What happens to them? Instead of building all these prisons, how about putting resources in the family through education and support services to keep young people off the streets and in good schools? But you see, governments always take the easy way out. We'll build more prisons, and when they mess up, we'll lock them up. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I cannot speak to the government. I'm not that powerful. I cannot even speak to your community here. But what I can do, I can speak to us as God's people. We need to value marriage as a congregation, as Christians, as individuals. We need to value marriage and respect the institution, and respect the institution of marriage. Because the Bible says, Genesis 2:22, that God took man, took a rib, and made woman. And the Bible says, God brought her to man. God instituted marriage. God brought her to man. So marriage comes from God. We need to devote more time as a congregation and resources into teaching about marriage and the importance of the Christian home. You know why, Brother Zach? Because the government will not. The government will not teach anyone about the importance of marriage, about the value of the Christian home. It's left up to us. as a congregation, as a church, to teach our brothers and our sisters about the importance of marriage. Because the Bible says, my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. We need to love our family enough to discipline them. Too many homes are slack or lax on discipline. The scripture says, God chastens those he loves. If we really love our families, if we really love our children, then we will instruct them, we will discipline them, we will train them. Because guess what? If you and I don't train our children, guess who they are building those prisons for? They are building them for our children. Why? Because we fail to discipline them. We fail to correct them. Because we say, oh, I love my son. I love my daughter. I love her too much. The governor doesn't. The governor will lock them up in a heartbeat. And then you cry and they're pulling them and they got them handcuffed and chained and barred and they're carrying them and you're crying. Government doesn't care for your tears. Because you fail to discipline your own children. God who loves us, he disciplines us. Men must stand up and take leadership in their families, in their homes. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 and 4, it says, the head of man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. The head of woman is man. And sometimes as men, we love to hear that. You know, I'm the head of this home. But men need to step up and be leaders in those homes. We are talking about leaders in spiritual things. We are talking about leaders in physical things, emotional things, social things, intellectual things. Men must step up and do what God made you to do. Take charge of that family. Take responsibility of that family. Lead that family. Women must cherish their roles as helpers and equals. Women must be teachers of good things in the family, in the home. Brothers and sisters, the church must reach out to the community, to families in this community, to show them the love of God and to share with them the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom concerning marriage and the home. We cannot, as a congregation, as a church, cannot sit down while marriages are failing, while marriages are being destroyed, and not do anything. But we must do something as Christians. I hope I haven't given you the impression that the Christian family is perfect, because Christian families are not perfect. Christian families have the same struggles. Christian families have the same difficulties. But like Paul, who says, I have not attained, I have not arrived, but I keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling. What I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, it is not going to be easy. But we have to keep pressing. Can't give up on your home, on your marriage, the first sign of trouble. We have to keep pressing. We have to hang in there. Because guess what? Our children are looking up to us. Other Christians are looking up to us. Our neighbors are looking up to us. Non-Christians are looking up to us. Our relatives are looking up to us. When was the last time you heard a lesson on marriage and family and the home? I personally, my wife and I, we know so many colleagues, preachers, Christians, who have been divorced. It is never a pretty thing. It is never a beautiful thing. It's always disastrous. Guess who suffers? Those little children. I received a list from someone the other day. And it was a second grade list of needed school supplies. She is in the middle of a divorce. And she sent my wife and I the list. I'm thinking she probably needs some help. That's what I'm thinking. But if she and the husband were together, my wife and I would not have received that list. That's what happens. The children suffer. The grandparents suffer. Because the grandparents are going to become parents now. You got 4 or 5 children. Single mother. Where are those children going? 9 times out of 10, to the government. Is the government prepared, qualified, capable to take care of children? The answer is no. I hope that those of us who are thinking about getting married will understand that you must be prepared. You need information, which is knowledge. You need understanding, and you need wisdom. Those of us who have already messed up, we just got to pray. We just got to pray. This morning, if you are here, you're not a Christian. There is no better family. There is no better marriage than to connect yourself with Christ. There is no better family than the family of God. So I'm inviting you this morning. If you're not a Christian, you need to be involved. You need to be a part of the family of God. That's the most important family on the face of the earth, the family of God. Because when all families have deserted you, when your own family have deserted you, only the family of God will stand behind you. There's a song we used to sing, it says, your brother will let you down, your sister will let you down, your mother will let you down, but Jesus never fails. Why don't you come this morning if you're not a Christian? You've heard the word, you believe it, you pray ever since you confess Christ. Your brothers here will be more than happy to help you in baptism. Those of us who are Christians, take this question with you. What is happening to our families? Think about that as we together stand and sing a song of encouragement.
Thank the lowly Jesus. All our soul diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Well, you know, Jesus know all about our struggle. He will guide, till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.